Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches Podcast, episode 22.
Whoa, hold on a minute.
What's going on?
Something's happened to your voice, Rick. Have you been taking hormone therapy?
It was a holiday. I can't really go into too much detail over what's been going on while on holiday, but...
Have you had an operation that we need to know about?
Maybe a little longer coming back.
Right, okay. I did wonder why you were going away and you weren't going to be, like, taking photographs of yourself, but this kind of makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, I mean, the hospital has a photograph, but that's all that matters.
Right, that's fine. We'll carry on as if everything is normal. So what's your name now? What's your name?
I am going to go by... Rochelle sounds good.
You sound a little bit like somebody we've spoken to before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No? Caitlin? Caitlin Jenner, maybe? I don't know.
Caitlin Jenner. I don't know. That doesn't really ring a bell too much.
No, okay. Never mind. Okay, cool. How are you doing? How are things?
I am doing well. How are you?
Well, I am stressed out because this podcast was supposed to be recorded yesterday.
Yes.
But it turns out that you are actually a hick and you don't have internet.
Yes, I basically live in the Stone Age right now. And it is so... If you guys ever thought the Facebook and Instagram downage the other last week was bad, no internet for 2 days is terrible.
It's really terrible when we're on a deadline. We need to record a podcast and I'm flying out to Basel.
It is.
But you're a champion and you are here. We are recording this with a couple of tin cans and a length of string that's pulled really, really tight. So if the audio quality is a bit shitty, you know why. But today is Wednesday the 20th, which is the day before the public end up going to Baselworld, as in me. But it's the day where all the announcements starts to roll out. And 20 minutes ago, Rolex decided to unleash on the world all their new stuff. And since you don't have internet, you don't really know what's happening, do you?
No, I haven't even been on Instagram yet today or anything. I have nothing. You just have run with this.
Right, I'll fill you in then. So, did you see yesterday, using your cell phone and sort of caveman internet, did you see that Rolex Passion Report had announced all these leaked Rolex releases?
Yes, with the worst quality photos I've ever seen in my life. Yes.
Yeah. Now, these are the guys that in December put a post out saying, right, okay, listen up. The Batman, the BLNR, is discontinued.
Right.
It's gone. It's not coming back. Right. And then they popped this stuff out yesterday, and one of the pictures was of the new Batman BLNR. But with a Jubilee bracelet. So I looked at the photos, everybody looked at the photos, and it appeared as if they'd all been really, really badly photoshopped, then printed out, then folded, then taken a photograph of the printout, and then played around with on Instagram, and then uploaded.
Basically.
So everybody thought they were fake. It turns out they were all real.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm sitting here, and again, there might be a kind of humming noise in the background. That is due to my PC being on for a change instead of recording this without any sound in the room. But it's so I can keep an eye on Hodinkee, Rolex.com, Rolex's Instagram, and the Twitterverse and the Facebookverse. On the Rolex website, we have got a new Sea Dweller, two-tone.
Right.
New Datejust 36 with a green kind of gradient fade. We've got a new 42mm Yachtmaster, and they have released a GMT2 Pepsi with a meteorite dial.
Huh. That's interesting to do a meteorite dial on that watch, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's still got the Mercedes hands with the sort of white chromolite loom. So the indices are white, the hands are kind of white. It's a kind of weighty silver metallic dial, and you cannot make anything out apart from the red GMT hand.
But, I mean, you could probably make out the Rolex crown, and let's face it, that's what you're buying it for.
That's all that counts.
Exactly. That's you all
know
you
this.
Need.
I mean, you guys at Daniel Wellington, that's what you aspire to be, is Rolex dealers and salespeople.
Oh,
I know it. You know
for
it.
For sure. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Well, so how do you feel knowing that the Batman is not discontinued? How does that make you feel about your Batman?
I wouldn't have cared anyway.
Yeah.
I've actually got an aftermarket Jubilee bracelet, which looks identical to this. So if I wanted to be one of those guys that puts like an M badge in the back of their BMW when it's not an M, then yeah, I could swap over bracelets and pretend I'm the big I am. But yeah, I don't mind. I prefer the Oyster.
Yeah.
Because the Jubilee's just a little bit too jangly, even the newer ones.
Right.
Yeah, the world is going to go bananas, and I'm going to watch my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook feed filling up with shit all day long today about this kind of stuff.
I know.
And everyone will be oohing and aahing.
I can't wait to get to actual internet so that I can just sit around on a computer all day and pretend to work and really just keep up with everything going on in Basel.
Are you trying to be me?
No, I mean, it's work related, realistically. So I'm allowed to do it. I think we'll see.
So if anyone hasn't quite figured out who we're speaking to, it is Catelyn from Nashville.
Hi.
Who has been a previous guest on the show, and you can say hello again there.
Hello, y'all.
Y'all. Love it. So the reason that you're filling in today is because the real Rick is busy skiing,
right?
Apparently.
Can we just discuss, this is a little awkward for me because I came on originally interviewing to replace you, and I guess now it turns out that I'm replacing Rick, which is a little awkward. Now, I talked a lot of shit about you, and I'm sorry for that. Now that you're technically kind of my boss for the next...
Yep.
My bad. Please forgive me.
Right, okay. I'll take that under consideration, but you may have to speak to HR about things.
All right, sounds good.
But, yeah. No, we had a lot of good feedback on the last episode that you were on, and because you didn't run away screaming, we thought, yeah, we'll drag you back and see how you get on round two. But yeah, it's good to have you back on, and it's good to get your insights, because of all the guests that we speak to, I think you're the first one that works for a watch company. So you have got an insider scoop, and you obviously deal with members of the public daily about these type of things that we just talk about, you get to work with. So that's quite useful. So have you seen any news in your little cave without internet about releases over the last couple of days?
I saw... What did I see yesterday? Yesterday was such a crazy day. I saw the new... What was released yesterday?
The new Patek.
Yes. Yes. That was it. Sorry. It's been... in my defense, it's still 6 a.m. But yes, the new Pateks. What do you think? It really does. I'm not a fan of that green stuff that they put on there, but you know, somebody will buy it, I guess, at the end of the day. It looks better than the 1159, so it could be worse.
Because I actually have the computer on, I can load up.
Why don't you brag a little more about it?
Did I tell you I'm going to Basel tomorrow as well? It's only costing me about £70.
Oh, yeah, isn't that nice?
That's good.
Isn't that nice?
It is. Did you know where I was last week? I was in Geneva last week looking at some cars. It was really good.
You know, I feel like staying in Nashville is really the play. Out of everything I need here, it really is. I don't need Switzerland. I don't need anything else. Like you said, I have Disney World. I have Disneyland. I have, you know, all of these amazing things that cost me more to fly to than it costs you to fly to Switzerland. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what car rentals are for.
Cool. And you're definitely not, you're not going to shoot Rick. From what you said last week.
I am not going to shoot Rick. I don't even own a gun. I'm probably like one of the only people raised in the South who don't. So I'm not be shooting Rick. I may give him a lot of shit when he comes back to Nashville. I don't think I'll shoot him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still, yeah.
He's a nasty person. He's a nasty person. I'm glad he's gone. Right, this Patek then, it is the new version of their Aquanaut, which has got a khaki green dial and strap. And green seems to be the colour of the last maybe year, although blue is still fighting the corner. I preferred the one that came out last year, which was the, I think it was an Aquanaut as well, with the orange accenting.
Right.
I thought that one was better. It stood out more. It was more aimed at a younger audience, because Patek is pretty much your Nautilus, and then you've got Calatrava and your dresses kind of stuff, and that's how people generally see it, unless they're more involved with the brand. And this green one, I don't know who they're aiming it at, because it's not a nice green. It's not a sunburst, it's a kind of off-green, army green. I don't know, I think it would probably be a very expensive piece that will might die out quite quickly.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a very specific shade of green. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if you're in the military, you'd probably kind of appreciate it.
No, it's more like a kind of a baby feces green. The reason I can say that is because my sister's just had a newborn, and I'm familiar with colours at the moment. So what were you going to say there?
I was going to suggest they use that as their marketing, honestly.
You could be passing it on to the next generation, literally. That works. So what else do we have? I heard that, who else released some stuff? Moser had come out with some things. Do you have any idea about what they released?
No, I don't know. Just assume I know nothing.
Wow. Right, okay.
You're just going to have it to
this educate is, me. This is just like working with Rick, really. I mean, if you heard the last episode, he wrote an article on the Moonwatch and couldn't remember the first thing about it.
Clearly that article was copy and pasted from somewhere.
Well, I think so.
Right? I read the article. It was very well done. I mean, for Rick.
Yeah, we're going to get our private detectives on the case with that one because he managed to pop that article out while he was at work within 10 minutes of the news appearing, and it was fully typeset, no spelling mistakes, big words that he doesn't know the meaning of. Yeah, he's definitely copied that from somewhere.
I'm pretty sure that article posted before I even knew about that much.
Well, I mean, people at Daniel Wellington shouldn't really know about these kind of things. I mean, unless that's a lie.
No, you know, we try and keep up with everything, though. It's my job, right? When I have internet, to know what's going on in the watch world.
Well, I mean, without internet, how are you using Tinder?
It's hard, all right? Hard times in Nashville right now. I have to, like, talk to people the old-fashioned way. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't know anything about that, so that's fine. So, yeah, that was out. But there was a watch that you do know about, and that was a female watch that you mentioned on Messenger during the week. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Female watch mentioned on Messenger. Which watch was that I was talking about?
Jesus Christ. It was the MBNF.
I talked to a lot of people. Jesus.
Oh, yes. You're such a Messenger hussy.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, but and I think it has just about everything you need except for that price tag. Can we just discuss the prices of luxury timepieces?
Well, let's tell the listeners what you thought it was going to cost.
I thought maybe 20, 25.
And how hard did I laugh when you told me that price?
Probably as hard as you laughed when I said that I knew how to shoe a horse and make moonshine. So, it was an interesting conversation for sure. This is my problem with ladies' watches, honestly. It's ridiculous. The one actually feminine watch that I love costs like $200,000. I could sell my house and buy it.
Yeah. It is a nice watch.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw it and I saw the complications involved, then I saw who made it, I knew it was going to be more than 20 grand.
Yeah. So like one thing I do remember seeing yesterday, what do you think about the new Panerai?
What new Panerai would that be?
The Bronzo with the ceramic bezel.
Right there.
See, look at me on top of it. I don't even have internet. I'm living under a rock right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you like the fact that I've got a computer and I can just type things? And Shut up. That Panerai. Yeah. Well, I was looking at that Panerai that came out yesterday, you know, the submersible Bronzo diving watch. Let me have a quick look at this thing. That's actually not that horrible.
It's not. You know, I like that. What I'm curious, though, is if the brown ceramic bezel will match that dial. I feel like brown is such a specific color. You know, and getting it to match is probably going to be a little bit more difficult. And I'm still undecided on how I feel about bronze watches in and of themselves. Like, this whole wanting your watch to patina thing and to look old, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I think that's a cop-out from people that buy one and like the look of it, and then it starts to instantly tarnish, and they say, oh yeah that's how I knew that would happen, that's how I wanted it to go, when in actual fact they're really upset because it looks almost gold and then it starts to look horrible.
Right.
But this one here, no, this looks pretty good. They've made it suck less. It looks pretty good. It's got chocolate dial, chocolate bezel. It works well with the bronze color as it stands just now, but it'll probably start to patina quite quickly as they do. I actually quite like that one. I don't like it on the rubber strap, though. That looks bad.
What else would you put it on?
Well, it comes on a leather, a brown leather, which looks pretty good. And then it's got a horrible baby feces green rubber strap as well. What's going on here?
Maybe baby feces green is the new color, and we're missing out.
Could be. Well, while I'm over in Switzerland tomorrow, I will make some inquiries and let you know.
All right. Well, you do that.
Mm-hmm. I shall do that. Yeah.
There was the Patek... the new Calatrava, right? With the weekly calendar?
For someone that doesn't have internet, you seem to be quite ahead of the game here.
Which, a weekly calendar is low-key probably the most useful complication other than a date on a watch. The number of reports that I have to send in for a week, and every week I have to Google what week it is. I mean, this watch would be amazing. Minus the fact that, again, I'd have to sell my house to buy it.
Well, I have never had to know which week it is, but that might just be a Scottish thing, or I just don't care. The dial looks a bit like kind of Navitimer-esque. It's got a lot of stuff happening. It's quite busy. So this tells you what week it is. Also tells you what day it is and the date and the month.
It's pretty useful for anybody in corporate, I feel like, with corporate jobs, who has to know that. I'm trying to think of any other watch that has a week indicator, and I can't think of anything on top of my head.
Yeah, that one's only 29,500 Swiss francs, so that's probably...
I could sell my SUV and buy that. That's much more... I mean, I can be without a car, but I kind of like my house, so that's reasonable.
Less of a shafting, that one. That's pretty good. I was actually quite prepared, because for yesterday, I had all this cool stuff. But now it's all been gazumped because of all the news releases from Basel. So let me have a look, refresh Hodinkee and see what stuff they're up to. Oh, and they haven't updated anything. That's lovely.
Aw, I'm not missing anything. Yeah.
No, they've got a live page called live.hodinkee.com/Baselworld. And the last update was at 11:01. So they have been obviously drinking champagne for the last half hour.
How do you explain this obsession to anybody not in the watch industry that there are a bunch of grown adults who will be sitting in front of their computers all day long looking at updates over watches?
Very easily. And I had this thought yesterday. No, I didn't. I had this thought this morning when I was putting the rubbish out in my bin. What do people, normal people, think of idiots like us refreshing, waiting for news on the new Rolex release or the new whatever release? And I suppose it's like the fashion industry or a band releasing a new album or the day before a new iPhone comes out or even the day before the new Call of Duty comes out, right? So you have all these people queuing outside whichever store it is, game or whatever you guys have got over in the States, overnight just to buy a video game.
True.
I think it's any kind of subculture, any kind of hobby. In the last 20 years, it's gone from people with a passing interest in it to hardcore nutters that just want to find out the moment that something happens, they need to know about it.
But I feel like people who are into, like, for example, video games, like, nobody judges them the way that, I don't know if it's just my group of friends. Maybe I just hang out with terrible people. Like, nobody really understands. Unless you're a watch collector or a watch fanatic, you don't get it at all. And you think we're absolutely ridiculous. Like, the video game thing, I kind of get it. I mean, I probably wouldn't camp outside just to play video games, but I don't play video games. So, but I mean, I don't instantly judge them.
Well, you just climb in the top of bulls and ride around in rings and things like that, don't you?
Basically.
Still can't believe you don't have a gun.
No, I don't. You know, I grew up around it, but not my thing. I'll go shooting, but I just don't keep one in the house. You know.
I feel safer already.
Maybe we can be friends. How about the new Breitlings?
How about them? So yeah, there was a couple of releases over the last few days, including a female Breitling.
Was there? I didn't even see that one.
It is a Super Ocean, and it is 36mm.
Ugh.
And it actually looks pretty good. It's white. It's got a white rubber strap on it, white dial, white bezel, and it's not fugly.
Really?
It's actually pretty decent, yeah.
I'll have to look into this. 36 might be a little small, but that's just my mindset at this point.
The politically correct people have invaded the watch news.
The press release says...
No. Worse than that. Models ranging in size from a gender-neutral 36mm.
Wow. We don't even call it unisex.
Going from girls getting strangled and having whiskey poured down their throats from guys wearing watches to Breitling.
You know, Breitling really is classy like that, though. God bless them.
Yes, God bless them. It's good that they're actually still at Basel, unlike those Swatch ruffians that have decided to ditch it.
It's terrible. You know, it's awful. People who think they're better than everybody else, you know, what are you going to do? Which is interesting. I'm very curious. Surely they will do their own show. You can't just skip it and skip a watch show like that and not do something on your own.
Well, the talk was they were putting their own show on in Zurich at the same time. But as information's kind of come out, that's turned out to be a retailer-only show. So the press and the public aren't allowed anywhere near it.
Makes sense.
Kind of. But again,
oh no, that was instantly sarcasm because I mean, press, Instagram, social media is what sells everything now.
Oh, right. I think you're sarcastic all the time, so I don't know when to differentiate.
When to take me seriously.
Yeah, when to take you seriously. Well, Basel in the last couple of days have turned around everything that they've done wrong social media wise over the last couple of years, because I get an email through saying if you would like a free room to use to do interviews, to record videos, to write your blogs, podcasts or whatever, then we have got all these meeting rooms available. Just click here and you can book it free of charge.
Wow.
And that is massively different from just 2 years ago when I first went to Basel, where they pretty much shunned social media. They shunned Instagram, YouTube guys, and I think it was just basically a blog to watch Hodinkee and a few of the other bigger names that were allowed to do things. So I think Swatch disappearing has kind of kicked them right up the arse.
Right. I mean, you have to change something at that point. Then there's a new leadership there. So, and supposedly next year is supposed to be some crazy change to Basel, which we'll have to wait and see for. But it's interesting. I mean, you have to do something to stay relevant when one of the biggest brands realistically pulls out.
How many brands did Swatch have? Was it something like 16?
Yeah, like 16 or 18, something like that.
And when people thought Swatch, they automatically just thought it was Omega. They didn't think it was also Hamilton, Breguet, Blancpain, all these other names that obviously not as big as Omega, but when you add them all together, that's a massive amount of people missing from the ground floor.
Oh, right.
As you walk in the entrance to Baselworld. I'm looking at the photos. Hodinkee have uploaded some more stuff, and looking down the main hall as you go in, yeah, there's a gap where Omega used to be. It still looks pretty good because you've still got TAG on one side, Bulgari on the other, Hublot, Rolex, Tudor. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And then I was looking at statistics that said 2 or 3 years ago, there was about 1,500 to 1,700 exhibitors. And this year, it's about 500 or 600.
Wow.
They've closed one of the halls, or an upper level. And they've sort of, as I say, they've got these meeting rooms and they're doing some kind of fashion parade. So, yeah, I hope next year when they pull things together, because they're bringing SIHH closer time-wise. I think they're putting them the week before Basel, and then the week after will be Basel. So it saves people, especially from the States, having to do two trips within three months or so.
Yeah, most definitely.
So that does make sense. For us, we don't care. We don't look at it that way over here.
No, because it costs you less than what? $150.
Costs is less than $80.
Oh, excuse me. I just, for the hell of it, just Googled a flight to Switzerland and it's $1,800. Round trip,
what?
Though, which is nice.
Wow.
$1,800.
I never thought it was that bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good times.
Convert. And for people over here who don't want to do that conversion, that works out as £1,360 for the flights alone.
Just the flights, exactly.
Just the flights. And if you were coming all the way from the States, that's going to take a while. So you're probably going to stay for a while. And apartments and all the rest of it, if you were going to go for them in Basel, as we've spoken about before, astronomical prices.
Yep.
So yeah, I can now understand. And I probably won't take the piss out of you quite so much for not jumping on
the plane. Why I will be staying in Nashville like everybody else.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for you sitting. Well, you won't be watching anything on the internet, obviously.
You know, I have like 3 hours and then I'm at work. So I'm very, this is like one of those days that I actually look forward to going into work and getting internet access. I'm excited to go to work. I haven't been this excited to go to work in a long time.
So it's just your farm that doesn't have internet just now?
No, you know, it's the whole neighborhood of farms, sadly.
Right.
My neighbor and I are really struggling. We just basically sit in our houses and text each other back and forth for entertainment.
Nice.
Yeah, it's terrible.
At least your cell tower still works.
It does. So I have that going for me. I can hop on Instagram or the actual internet. But scrolling through the internet on your phone really is a struggle.
That's how we do over here. Most of the time we spend is on our phones. We hardly use computers.
I will agree. I mean, you've heard me trying to set up my laptop this morning. So I very rarely use my computer. But a tablet. Like I use my iPad a lot. Except for when I don't have the internet.
Right. There's some more updates appearing here. Live. We have got some releases from Tudor.
I was going to ask, what was going on with Tudor?
Let's see if the Rolex Passion Report guy has got it nailed here as well. What do we have? We've got a shitty website. Right, okay, we have got a new Black Bay Bronze.
Okay.
That looks pretty much like the last one. Cool story, bro. what else have we got? We has got, oh, that's nice.
What
We've
is
got
it?
A two-tone, it's a... can't swear. The bloody website is horrific to
good
use
save.
To scroll. It is a Tudor Black Bay Chrono S&G, which is their terminology for two-tone. And it actually looks really nice. It looks like a better version of a Breitling. And it's a really deep kind of coppery gold colour with a black dial, copper gold twin sub-dials, and the date at 6 o'clock. Massive chrono pushers. No crown guards, but a big crown. That actually looks pretty good as well. And it's got a red tipped chrono needle as well. That's nice. Okay, yep, good for that. Next up, they have got the Black Bay P01. And this looks a little bit mental. It looks very old, kind of 50s, 60s inspired. back in the 50s and 60s when they tried to make things look futuristic, so they changed the shape of stuff. It looks like that, and it's got a very odd way of having the strap coming into the head. It's very difficult to describe a watch in audio. It really is. So that's kind of odd looking. And their final novelty is the new Tudor Black Bay 32-36-41 S&G, which is actually quite nice as well. It looks like an Oyster Perpetual, but it's got the snowflake hands. It's got the gold-coloured bezel, golden steel jubilee, and gold-tipped crown.
Hmm.
So they've played it on their heritage again. They've gone kind of old school, nothing outlandish, no silly ceramic stuff like the watch I've got, nothing like the North flag.
Right.
And they're using a lot of two-tone as well. So, yeah, not too bad.
Could be worse.
I don't think there's anything... Could be worse. I don't think there's anything there that's going to set the world on fire as much as their GMT did last year.
Right.
And the Rolex stuff, as I mentioned, it's kind of samey.
Well, so with the Rolex stuff, there was no new Milgauss, was there?
No, well spotted. There was not.
I was convinced there would be a new Milgauss this year.
No, they've got the Yachtmaster 42, Sea Dweller, two-tone, the new GMT Master 2 Batman with the Jubilee, Date 36 with a kind of sunbursty gradient green dial, Datejust 36, which I don't know what's different about that, and a Datejust 31, and that is it. So looking at this, I think I was right that this year is their kind of in-between year where they don't really care. And they just kind of refresh a few things and let the rest of the models catch up. But it'll be next year when they do something that people go bananas for.
Well, maybe this will help them keep up with production and you can actually go purchase a stainless steel watch. Possibly.
I'll tell the jokes.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry. Yeah,
no, oh, I'll raise my hand next time.
If you could.
Okay, thank you.
No, nothing there that I'd be interested. I wasn't really interested in the Pepsi last year either. I thought it looked shit.
I'm not a fan of the Jubilee bracelet, period, honestly.
It wasn't the Jubilee bracelet. It was just, it was the same watch as had been out in white gold. And that bezel was pink and purple. Whereas the classic GMT, where it was the alloy bezel, it looked nice because it was anodized and it was blue and it was red.
Right.
That's a bit of a disappointment from Rolex this year. But can't always hit home runs, I suppose.
I guess not.
So speaking of things that have come out recently, what's your thoughts on the new Moonwatch from Omega?
The 50th anniversary Apollo. It's interesting. Yes. I'm very curious to see the gold color in person. But I think one of the bigger things that aren't being talked about as much is the new Meta-certified Moonwatch movement. So I think it's the 1863 or what? I can't remember what the movement number is. It's interesting because, I think you touched on that before, you're taking this older Moonwatch movement and then just making it supposedly master certified. So to think that it'll be, you know, anti-magnetic, guaranteed to run between, what, 0 and +5 seconds per day, it'll be interesting to see. I know that Omega had talked about for a long time wanting to have everything be this new master certification. So it'll be interesting, first of all, how long it will take for those movements to be mass produced. And then also if it will ultimately replace the Moonwatch that's out now, just your classic, you know, Moonwatch. But honestly, the gold color is probably what I'm most curious to see because I never saw the original in person. So it should be interesting, this moonshine gold. It looks nice in pictures. I like the red accents. I like that it looks very vintage. Looking at the comparison pictures side by side, it looks gorgeous.
Right.
Even though you hate it, but whatever. Haters gonna hate. I'm pretty sure last time you said that you hate it. I'm pretty sure that was your one-line answer.
No, I said it was crap.
Oh, okay. But you love it.
Don't you come on my podcast and preach to me what I said or what I didn't say. I remember these. I'm not Rick. I don't forget what day it is and if I've taken my medication or not. So, no. I thought it was crap because it looked like an old watch that I didn't like in the first place.
Right.
Whereas, when I saw the Apollo 8 getting released last year, I was all over that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's new, it's fun, it's exciting. But there's something to be said for classics.
True.
I'm curious to see... I mean, Omega, of course, is known for releasing multiple limited edition pieces. So I'm curious to see if there's going to be anything else that does come out for the 50th anniversary. I think keeping it at just that would upset a lot of people because the price point was fine for what it is. It's a solid gold watch. But, you know, at $30,000, that keeps a lot of people who are very passionate about the Speedmaster collection and the Apollo missions, keeps them out of the running for for a limited edition piece. So surely they would introduce something that's a little bit more reasonable, but we'll see.
They've also not done anything with the best movement news in the last 20 years with the 3-2-1 coming back.
It was the best movement. What are you talking about? I mean, it's the pinnacle of watchmaking. It was to reintroduce this movement. I think obviously you're going to have people who are absolute fans of it, but yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how you can mass produce that movement because we'll see, I guess.
Okay. It's just a shame that we didn't actually know somebody that worked for Swatch or Omega who had an inside line on things. But, you know, maybe next year when we're a bigger podcast and we've got better contacts than people from Daniel Wellington, these things will fall into place.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry that Daniel Wellington isn't going
to know. If we knew somebody that was a little bit more higher up the food chain who had working internet and things, we would have an inside scoop for our listeners. But I think that's probably two for two where we've had connectivity problems, I suppose, with podcast recording from Nashville.
You know, but this time you got SmartCat. Though you got the smart twin. I was on it this morning. I had all of these great ideas on how to make this work. I'm on it. My headphones are plugged in. I didn't even bother. The Bluetooth headphones are sitting right in front of me. Didn't even bother. I wanted this to be perfect just for you guys.
Well, that is appreciated. It's good to see that you put as much care and attention into things as we do over here.
There aren't sirens in the background like there are on yours.
Oh, you can hear that, can you?
Sure can. Sure can.
It's usually when we're watching Watchbox videos that you can hear all the cop cars and stuff in the background.
Oh, for sure.
I think they're recording. Where is it they record? Is it New York?
Yeah,
or
New York.
Or something like
you can't.
New York?
I mean, you can't sleep in New York. I don't know if you've ever been to New York City, but it is the loudest city.
You haven't heard of Glasgow, have you?
Is it worse?
I think for a while, Glasgow's main claim to fame was it was the murder capital of Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Glaswegians wore this as a badge of honour wherever they went. This was included in a comedy sketch from one of our local great comedians, so I think, Kevin Bridges, who used this in one of his skits, and it made total sense. You know, people say where you're from, and you say Glasgow, and they're like, oh, that's a bit rough, isn't it? And you're like, oh, yes, it is actually, yes. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, you've always got to watch out.
And people will find a way.
They will. People will fight, people will always be hostile towards each other. But not as watch people, we love each other.
Right.
This is a kumbaya community. We all come together under one umbrella because we love ticking timepieces.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else to bring the listeners up to speed on. I am recording this with yourself at noon on the 20th. I am flying out with a whole load of guys tomorrow morning. That sounded a little bit.
So how many of the, what do you call it, Tartan Watch Clan? How big is your crew?
Almost. It is the Tartan Watch Army. The Scottish Watches Tartan Army, depending how we type it on Instagram and if I can spell it properly and Rick can spell it properly. I think at the moment, in the small clan, there is myself, Isaac, who came across to our SIHH trip. We've also got Chris, who is the manager, I believe, or the assistant manager at one of the dealerships ADs through in Edinburgh. Plus, we are meeting at least four people when we arrive in Basel. And I don't know if you've heard of a YouTube channel called Bark and Jack.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Well, we've been speaking to Adrian for a good couple of weeks now. There's a good synergy between what he's doing with video and what we're doing, obviously, with audio and the website. So we've been having a little bit of back and forward, and we've decided we're going to meet up and we're going to have a collab. So we're going to record a podcast live in Basel at Baselworld tomorrow night, Thursday at 6 p.m.
Fun.
So that will be fun.
Very exciting.
We really appreciate what he does, and he seems to like what we do. So it should be good. And he's also coming up to stay. He's moving to Scotland and is coming to stay in Glasgow in a few months' time. So I'm sure there will be great things ahead for all involved.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to. And then when we go over tomorrow, there will be a couple of meetings we've got set up. We're seeing the guys from TAG. That will be interesting because I quite like their new Tourbillon that they've got out, the Nanograph.
Was that released this morning?
No, that came out. They tried to slide that one out when SIHH was on because they weren't exhibiting at it, and they thought they would try and gazump everyone with dropping a press release.
I don't know that I've seen that then.
You obviously don't read the website because I wrote an article on it.
You know.
Did nobody read my stuff? Should I just go home? It's like, what's the point? Really? Between you and Rick, it's just, I'm wasted here, so I am. No, it's really nice. It's kind of got carbon accenting. It's a little bit aerospace, a little bit Formula One, looks pretty cool. A little bit expensive, being a tag, but it's cheap, being a tourbillon.
Right.
So going to speak to them, see that. Zenith have given us some behind-the-scenes access to their new releases, including the new Defy Inventor, which is the one that me and Rick have got our names down for, which comes out in October. So looking forward to seeing that. And then at night time, we've got some kind of Zenith after party.
Oh, fancy.
So that'll be interesting. And then we potentially are meeting with Moser, but it comes down to time. Then we're doing the podcast, as I said. And then in amongst all that stuff, we don't have much extra time to actually get round, see all the stuff, get some photographs, speak to people, get some video. But I'm sure we'll get there. Lots of caffeine and Red Bull will be utilised in the forthcoming couple of days.
Yeah, it's what runs the world.
It does. And it's legal, unlike the other stuff. So yes, let me think if there's anything else we can talk about.
Oh, well, one thing we haven't done, what are you wearing?
Being honest? Well, I can't say that because everyone thinks I'm naked. I'm not wearing a watch at the moment.
Oh, no.
Because I've laid everything out on my bed that I'm taking across tomorrow. So I've got this routine where I lay everything out on the bed, look at it and make sure I'm not missing anything. And then I start packing. So my watch that I'm taking tomorrow is the Batman BLNR.
Okay.
Because it's the one I've always taken to Baselworld, and this is coming up for its 2-year anniversary. Its 2-year birthday is in a few days' time. And that was the first watch I ever wore when I went to Switzerland, and I've worn it to every event apart from SIHH this year, where I took my Bulova Accutron just because I wanted to be different. But yeah, so that will be what I'm wearing later on when I put it back on my wrist, and I was going to wear that because I didn't know if it was going to get discontinued today, and apparently it's not been discontinued. It's been upgraded and given a change of clothes. What are you wearing?
You know, this is possibly the worst watch podcast ever. I am also not wearing a watch. Yeah, that's where I'm at in my life. In my defense, did just get home from the gym.
Does that mean the reason behind you not wearing a watch today is because you're too busy taking photographs of watches on fences and things like that?
That would be the exact reason I'm not. My watch is actually hanging outside off of my patio right now.
Well, that's where I see most of the photos. And I'm still waiting for you thanking me.
For what? Oh, for not competing this month?
Yeah.
I did thank you. I said thank you for giving folks a chance. You come out with these amazing pictures that almost look photoshopped, but they're not. And none of us can keep up with you.
Aw, shucks. That means so much. In the Horology Talk group, they have this monthly photo contest that I entered twice and just won back to back. So the third one, I just entered something random. It placed in the semis, I think, as well.
Right.
And then I thought, right, I'm just going to leave that alone because it's not really cool. And you've been putting in some great photos. Are you using a camera or are you using your phone for those?
I use my phone for everything.
Wow.
Yeah, use my phone. That photo that's there right now. Again, like if you could see the backstory behind every picture that's taken, I'm sure we always look absolutely ridiculous. Shout out to my girlfriends who don't understand my watch obsession, but they like a good picture. So they understand doing it for the gram, and that's all that matters.
Okay. No, that is all that matters.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's better than everyone holding up a glass of champagne or, I don't know, standing with a leg outstretched with new shoes on. Yeah, watch photography is pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure I did that recently.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it is. Well,
It is. But no, your photography is really good. I thought you'd actually used a camera for that.
Well, thank you. I'm actually kind of proud of that compliment.
Well, there's been a few of them because I mentioned one that you'd taken a while ago. It was your G-Shock photos were good, your white G-Shock that I will get my hands on at some point.
When I get your grade on. That's the arrangement. It is what it is.
It's going to happen.
Yes. As long as Rick is not smuggling it anally, please. That is my specific request. Rick needs to just double wrist it and not try and smuggle it when he comes to match.
Right.
Or we could just ship them back and forth and just pull it.
Just not wanting that image in my head anymore. But thanks for that. That's
You're welcome.
Now me polluted for
You're
the
welcome.
Next day. You will definitely get that at some point, I am sure of it. But your photography is really good, and everyone should check out that group because it's one of the nicest, friendliest, non-ass-kissing groups on Facebook. It's not as hardcore and as dangerous as the biker gang hut that we spoke about in the last episode with Ryan, which is the modern-day watch enthusiasts, but Horology Talk is great. Everybody should jump on there and check it out. And the guys that run it, and there's a few of them, there's Bobby, there's Mike, Richard, great guys, knowledgeable, but they don't rub it in your face, they're not snobby, and it doesn't matter what you post. you know, they're all very inviting. In this photography contest, you see some awesome shots. There was some ones I liked as well. There was a guy looked like he was flying in a fighter plane.
Yeah.
And he was holding up his watch, and you could see like another plane out the window. Just stuff like that is great. And it's not as if these guys are professional photographers or anything, you know. It's just that they're all interested in the hobby and having a good time. You still there?
Yeah, sorry. I like spaced out.
Did you get distracted?
I did, actually. I'm recording this in my son's bedroom because it's probably the quietest room in the house. So then I just start looking at something. Anyways.
All right, that's fine. Okay. Well, it's a female trait. We'll allow it. So, although I did see something that was very, very funny. In these groups where these contests are going on and people are voting, you know, which photo should be moved to the semi-finals from, you know, this leg to the semis to the whatever. And you would jump in and I would see your photo appearing and then you voting for your own photo.
In my defense, there has been contests that I have not voted for my own.
Well, that's true. And I did say to you, if your photo was shit, then I would vote against you.
Yeah.
So we're keeping it real.
You never vote for your own photo? Do you just not vote in that one?
No, I just keep out of it.
Oh, man. Whatever.
That's just us Scottish people. We're very humble. You know, we're almost Canadian, you know, but not quite. So what's going to be happening for the next little while with yourself? Have you got anything planned?
Wow.
Watch-wise? No new watches in the horizon?
No, I'm still on hiatus. I'm not allowed to buy any more watches for probably, I think I'm 4 months away. And even then, now I'm so confused on what I want to buy. What about you? What's next for you?
I'm just trying to think what I'm actually looking at. I'm looking, because running the website, doing the podcast, been quite interactive on Instagram, I think I'm overwhelmed now.
That's how I feel, for sure.
Yeah. And whereas maybe a year ago, I would check out a few different, a normal Instagram account where you've got your family, your
right.
friends, people you work with, and you keep your little secret hobby out of the way. But now there's a whole bustling community of Scottish watches on Instagram and Ricky watches. It's just all the time. Every time I load Instagram, every time I'm on Facebook, it's all I'm seeing. So I'm just kind of blown away by so much stuff. I can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah, I understand that.
And then nothing has really jumped out. Actually, it's really, really cheap things that I like. I went to the Red Bar event in Edinburgh last week, and one of the guys that helps out with the website, Logan, had brought along a World Time, one of the Casio Royales,
mm-hmm.
and it was the green one, and he had it on this green nylon bun strap, and it just looked awesome. And the strap was about 10 quid, the watch is maybe 25, 30 pounds, and I thought, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So it's, I suppose that's a good thing. I'm actually lusting after things that are inexpensive instead of looking at the new Patek in green and thinking, oh, that'd be quite nice for 30 or 40 grand. So yeah, little cheap things I think will keep me going just now until the Zenith comes along in October. But who knows? I might see some things over the next couple of days while I'm over in Basel and something might take my fancy. But also trying to move house, and then once I move house, I'm getting a new car, new motorbike, things like that. So I need to kind of keep the head a little bit. So I suppose I'm on a sort of, I don't know, like yourself, I'm going to keep myself pure and not think about watches or buying watches and put myself on a hiatus as well.
I mean, I'm just a few months out, and I'm very overwhelmed. There are a lot of watches, but I think it's nice because I haven't bought anything. Like, I didn't just jump on something that I would not love after a while. So I have to put so much thought into this purchase now. I don't know what I'm going to buy.
That's about it for today. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of content all over the internet. This podcast will get lost in a sea of information from Basel and the surrounding launches. Because as I mentioned, Moser, there's loads of other companies who actually aren't inside Basel World, but they are taking conference rooms at hotels that are nearby so that journalists, bloggers, etc. can sort of mosey around and check things out. But if you want to check out our website, we have got some new articles over the last week or so. We have got some photos from last week's Geneva International Motor Show. It's nothing to do with watches, but if you like mechanisms and mechanical things and engines and whatnot, go and have a look. There's about 300 pics that I grabbed of some of the best cars I have ever seen in my life, and they're just amazing car after amazing car. It was, I've said this before, it was the best event I have ever been to. Watches, bikes, music, conferences, anything at all, it's the best thing I've ever done, so something to check out. And there's also photographs from last week's Red Bar event in Edinburgh, which was the first official Red Bar grassroots to get together. Perth put that one on, and it was well attended. Met a lot of people that check out the website, a lot of contributors, and a lot of people that are into the podcast. A few people just wandered over and said, I recognise that voice. So got to speaking to a good few people, and we will be letting you know about future events in Glasgow, Edinburgh, and anywhere else they pop up. So I think that just about covers things. Anything else you want to add in?
No, I think that was everything that we wanted to talk about.
Well, we are setting up a GoFundMe page to help Catelyn get internet in Nashville. So, yeah, details of that will be in the show notes. And I might actually do the show notes myself because Rick dropped the ball last week. I went into the show notes, as I always do, and he likes to think he knows what he's doing, but he really doesn't, right? So he won't hear this because he's away skiing at the moment, but I went in there and he didn't have the right category selected. He didn't have any tags selected.
What an amateur.
The featured image was the wrong dimensions. He didn't put in links. Oh, it was messy. So I went and fixed everything. So I might just end up doing this myself.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I should not be allowed to do the show notes ever.
Because why? Why would this be?
I don't have internet in my defense, so I can't do the show notes unless you want to wait forever to get them.
We got there together. Like therapy, we worked your problems through. We figured it out. Good. All right. Well, thank you very much for being co-host and sliding into Rick's chair. We hope it was comfy for you. And people want to check out anything to do with you and your watches. Have you got an Instagram account that's open to the public?
I do have an Instagram account, but you will also, I can't keep up with multiple accounts. So everything's on one. So you can check out my watches and then you can see of other random things.
Everybody,
I
right
will
now.
Spell that for everybody. It's KatelenSchmidt.
Yeah, and I can vouch for the fact there is all kinds of random rubbish on that as well.
We can't be like you. You know, I try. When I wake up every morning, I think, what would Ricky do? But managing multiple Instagram accounts is not where I want to spend my day.
We've got a separate issue, which is both me and Rick co-run the Scottish Watches Instagram account. Right. So what will happen is somebody will send in a message and I'll start replying to them, and then Rick will jump in and he will just take over like a baton relay race, and he'll start replying with his own interpretation of what he thinks based on what the guy's asked. So this is really confusing for everybody. So we're going to have to work in some kind of logical structure where we don't trip each other up, and if someone's talking to somebody, then the other one butts out. But we'll have a discussion about that at our next Scottish Watches conference. So yeah, that's cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in and listening. If you like what you hear, come back again or check out our back catalogue. We're up to 22 episodes, which is pretty good going since we started this the first week in January. We will have an absolute ton of stuff once all the releases from Basel come out. We are also, as I said earlier, going to be doing a collab with Adrian from Bark and Jack, which will be recorded live tomorrow at Basel, which is after the first official day. So there'll be lots of chat there, finding out what he's been up to, what he likes, and what we've seen. And then going forward, we have got some amazing guests lined up as well. We've got some more people from the States, we've got some people from Australia, and some people from Canada as well, I believe. So it's all good. Make sure to subscribe on your podcatcher of choice, which could be Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else where you can find podcasts, and check out the website too. So that is great. So thanks once again for coming on, Catelyn.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. We will definitely have you back when you have got your interwebs reconnected.
Here's hoping.
Which could be in a couple of years' time. So all it leaves for it to be said is,
it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from her.
Goodbye. Oh.